Proverbs chapter 3 in your Bibles, if you would, this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 3. A little bit flip switch from what it was last week. Last week, you all came over to our church and your pastor preached. And this week, we came over to your church and I'm preaching. So, it's not thought out ahead of time. He had asked me to come over and preach today, a couple weeks ago, and then last week materialized during the few days beforehand, but it works out well enough. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll stand in honor of God's word with me, if you would, this morning, afternoon, whatever it is. I'm losing track of my clock, which doesn't bode well for an early exit, never mind. Proverbs chapter 3 this morning, we'll read that together. It says, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." And let's pray this way. Okay. Father, we come before you again tonight, today, to look into your word and to seek your face. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us today, the cool building in which to meet, the fellowship of friends and fellow believers, the good food we were able to partake of. But Lord, these are not why we're here. We ask that you would help us as we search the scriptures, that we might seek your face, and that our hearts might be open to your instruction. We ask that you would guide us this day, this afternoon, and that you would help us with open hearts to seek you, and having heard your words, to apply them. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. This is going to be a little bit of a shotgun message. The term has been used, meaning it's not going to be aiming at one point. It's going to be hitting a lot of different areas. And it's not the message I initially meant to preach. I preached a more Father's Day-oriented message in my church this morning. And I assumed that I would be preaching that here as well. I believe the Lord would have that to change. And so we're in Proverbs chapter 3. But we'll be going down through this passage that we've just read. And we'll be looking at some thoughts for life. How to live life. And it's kind of a broad topic and kind of going to be a broad message, I think, but basically, the entire book of Proverbs could be put under this caption of, you know, thoughts for life. How do you live life? How do you live the Christian life? How do you live a godly life? How do you live a life that is pleasing to God? And I'm not claiming that this is an exhaustive list. I'm not claiming that this is anything even close to being everything you need to know to live a good life and a godly life. But if we go through this passage, this first part of Proverbs chapter 3, we see a breakdown of a lot of the key elements to living a life that is pleasing to God. Not all of them, but many of them. And I want to take some time this afternoon to go through this passage and just pull out the ideas that are in it and unpack them a little bit. And so we'll get started. If we look right in verses 1 and 2, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." A lot of these things, just as a side note, the Proverbs are a poetic book. And this is a form of poetry in the Hebrew where he will give a thought and then he'll give an accompanying thought to kind of round it out. And that's a couplet or whatever the term is in the poetical form. And then he'll go on to another thought and so on. But he'll have most of the Proverbs are actually in this style, where he'll have a thought and then either a completing thought or an opposite thought. And in this case, most of them are completing thoughts. But that was just to get it out of my head. But we'll see here. "My son, forget not my law." So the first principle, the first thought for life this morning is live by the book. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. We have here the law and the commandments that God has given to us. We have the handbook, the rule book, the manual, the driver's manual, if you will, of the Christian life in this book. Every commandment that God gave to the children of Israel is there. Every doctrine that it was taught by Christ to his disciples is there. It's how we are supposed to live. And we are supposed to keep it in mind as we operate and as we go through our life. Because we notice a couple different things here. "My son, forget not my law," which indicates what? That you remember it. It's in your mind. "And let thine heart keep my commandments." So it's supposed to be in your mind and in your heart. If you have one or the other, you have an incomplete following of the Word of God. If it's in your mind but not in your heart, you end up with the Pharisees. They had an excellent knowledge of the Scriptures. Jesus even said, everything that they tell you from the law of Moses, do it.
Good.
Because they're right. But don't be like them. Because inside, they're dead men's bones. Inside, they're not in line with what those scriptures mean. What they say, do it. Because they're very good at unpacking the scriptures and showing what those scriptures are supposed to mean. But they're not good at doing it. They're not good at having it in their heart. And so, if you have it in your mind but not in your heart, you end up to be the Pharisees. If you ended up with it in your heart but with not in your mind, your heart might be in the right place, but how is it going to know what to do if you don't know what the Scriptures say? In fact, there's a period in the Scriptures under the title of the Judges where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And it was a hideous time. People constantly going after idolatry. People constantly turning away from God. People constantly... We have horrendous stories of cities that did atrocities that I won't mention now for sake of children. And people with just such absolute spiritual confusion. You know...
the story that Brother Coburn preached about when he was during the last revival meeting, I think it was, where the man steals money from his mother, but he brings it back to her, so she blesses him with it, tells him to take the money and make an idol because that's supposed to be pleasing to God. Even though God said, you're not supposed to make any idols, not supposed to make any graven images. Well, what happened? Their heart was in the right place, at least arguably. But they didn't know what God said. So here we have a very good encapsulation of our relationship with the Word of God is supposed to look like. Keep it in your mind and keep it in your heart. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Next we move on. Well, also we see in verse 2 actually the reason that we're supposed to live this way. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You live according to the precepts of the Word of God, and it will improve your life. You'll live longer. You'll get more out of your day. Length of days, long life, and peace. Peace. Seems like everybody's looking for peace and nobody can find it outside of this book. And living your life according to this book. Length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. He goes on, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. So I pull this out. Treat others well. Mercy. We could say forgiveness. Not building up a list of a tally of all the things that they've done to me. Mercy. You know what? I'm not going to exact my toll. I'm not going to call that debt. And truth. Not just saying what is true, but as it's said later in the scriptures, speaking the truth in love. Just because it's true doesn't mean you have to say it, especially in a hurtful sort of way. Well, I was just saying it because it's true. That doesn't mean you had to say it, and it doesn't mean you had to say it that way. But that doesn't mean that you slip into lying so that you don't hurt people's feelings. It doesn't mean that you slip into deceiving because it makes other areas of life work out better. Mercy and truth. Again, a balance is formed. Just like mind and heart, you've got mercy and truth, and the balance is formed by keeping both of those at the forefront. In fact, it tells you to bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. You're supposed to keep them. It's like a garment to you. It's wrapped around you tight, and it's in your heart. You're not going to let go of it. You're not going to get rid of it. You're not going to. It is. Part of who you are. And again, we find the reasoning, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You want a good relationship with God and man? Live by mercy and truth. Live by mercy and truth. Treat others well. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you don't forgive other people, God's not going to forgive you. So if you want that good relationship with God, it starts in part with a good relationship with other people. But that good relationship with other people is also
good in and of itself because you are able to interact with people in a proper way. You'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Next, trust God, not you. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Very famous set of verses, but we quote them, but we don't do them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What does that mean?
He knows what he's doing.
Lean not unto your own understanding.
I don't know what he's doing.
Not always. Not often. God knows what he's doing, and I don't. If I'm trying to go through some, maybe a thick forest or a mountain pass or something like that, if I have somebody in an airplane or helicopter who is phoning down information to me on where I'm supposed to go, I'm going to listen to them, aren't I? Because they can see what's ahead. They can see where things are going to go. If there's a path that I'm... Hey, I found this path. I bet it goes all the way through the woods. But I get information from the guy in the air saying, no, don't take that path. Why? What am I going to do? Am I going to listen to myself? Because, well, that looks like a perfectly good path. Why would you tell me not to take that path? Obviously, you just don't like me and you don't want me to get out of these woods. No. The person in the air can see that that path doesn't go all the way through the woods. He can see that, like often happens in the woods, maybe it's a partial deer trail, or maybe it's just a random gap in the woods. Doesn't go anywhere. He can see where it ends, and he wants what's best for you, so he's saying, don't go down that way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Well, I trust you, God. It's just I'm going to go, this really makes sense to me. And it doesn't make sense to go down what you're saying, but I trust you. I don't trust you. I trust you with the little things. You say to, go to church on Sunday. Okay, I can do that. But you say to, stand for truth and right, even when it means sacrificing something that is important to me. Well, I don't trust you that much. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, if you trust you, guess who directs your paths? You do. And if you direct your paths, probably not going to get anywhere you want to go. Because we can't see very far ahead. God designed it that way on purpose. We can make wise decisions. We can make, plan for the future and all that sort of thing. But we really can't see what's going to happen. And so our decisions are, and by the very nature, our decisions are going to have problems. We're not always going to make the right choice. Not always going to make the right decision. But God always will. You trust the Lord, he'll direct your paths. And then I'm not making decisions based on what I want or what I see or what I think or what I... I'm not making decisions based on my short sight. I'm making decisions based on what he said. And I can do that blindfolded because all I have to do is trust him. He'll tell me where to go. He'll lead me where I need to go.
He'll make sure that I take the right path. He'll make sure that I take the right direction. He'll make sure that I don't trip up. Why? Because he's directing my paths.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Goes in with the last point. You let God direct your paths, and you don't think, well, I'm wise. I know what I'm doing. And the end result is it's going to be health and marrow. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you what you need.
Yes, sir.
So, we have a good relationship with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We have a good relationship with other people. We trust God, not ourselves. Next, we keep God top priority. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And you can say that this will actually even tie into the previous point, because it's not always easy to trust God with our finances. It's not always easy to say, well, I don't know how I'm going to make do if I tithe. I'm not sure how I'm going to make ends meet if I'm giving money to God. And I'm not trying to make this into a financial message, nor am I saying that, you mean, I'm a guest preacher, so I can kind of get away with talking about money a little bit. But fact of the matter is, God's not interested in your money.
Yeah.
He's not. Pastor Barnes might be, but that's, you know. But God's not interested in your money. What's he interested in? Your heart. Your priorities. He's not worried about, oh no, if he doesn't tithe, I won't have enough money to do what I need to do as God. No. God is not depending on your pocketbook. What he wants is to make sure that your heart is not wrapped around your pocketbook, but is depending on God.
Amen.
He's making sure that your top priority is not the things of this earth, the things that you can see, the things that you can, the security you get from having a large bank account, the good feeling you have from knowing that my money is safe. Or that I can see how I'm going to make ends meet. Making sure that your priority is not on the control making sure that your priority, the priority of your heart, where your heart is focused and what your heart is interested in, is on God. I've heard it said that if I am to determine where your priorities are, all I have to do is look into your pocketbook and see where your checks are going. Of course, it's not always accurate anymore because we use credit cards and cash and all that kind of stuff, but you get my point. Where your money's going, Jesus said it, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things that are important to you are going to have your heart. I mean, it affects us in less serious ways too. I mean, I am a self-proclaimed history buff. There are certain areas of history, you get me talking on it, I'll be talking there for 3 hours. Other things, you try to get me interested, and it's like dragging teeth, pulling teeth. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to be interested in the superfine equations of mathematical difficulties. I'm going to be falling asleep. You talk about things that are in history,
I'm engaged. I'm interested. I'm in on the conversation. Why? Because it's more important to me than math. I hated math. Still hate math. On a spiritual level, the same thing happens. We think in terms of what is important to us. We make our choices based on what is important to us. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Why? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, what I'm not talking about is a health and wealth prosperity gospel. I'm not saying that God's children will never have problems, will never need assistance, will never have an empty bank account, will never have health issues. I mean, look at the people in this church. I've had car wrecks. Brother Lawrence has been crushed by a tractor. Brother Jeff fell off a ladder. He's been paralyzed ever since. I'm not saying that the Christian life is going to be full bed of roses if you just follow these principles. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that God blesses those who have a heart that is turned toward Him and who make Him the top priority. That's not all the time. Sometimes, like Job, you've done nothing wrong, but God will test you and try you and see where your heart is. Like Abraham, He'll see where your heart is. Now I know that you trust me because you were willing to give up your son as a sacrifice. He didn't come out and say why he was doing it to Job, but we know through the context of the rest of the book, he was testing him to see, all right, I take away the blessings, you're still going to trust me, you're still going to love me. God is not always going to make sure that everything goes well for us, but He is, on the whole, going to bless us for doing the things that He says. Listen to God. Be living according to His word. Treat others well. Trust God and not you. Keep God the top priority. Next, we see that we're supposed to understand and heed God's correction. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. See, there's my connection with Father's Day. Just because something bad is happening to you doesn't mean that God has... first of all, it doesn't mean that God suddenly hates you. The trials that we go through are not because God hates us, ever. It might be because He's chastening us. And again, this is not a broad brush statement on,
oh, you're going through trials? Well, you must be chastened. You must be being corrected.
That's what Job's friend said. Fess up, Job. You know you did something. We know the righteous are never punished. Come on, Job. It's never, you're never innocent. You know, something must have happened. God doesn't punish the innocent. Sometimes He tests them, though. But as you're going through the tribulation, sometimes things can rise to the top. And if God is dealing with your heart through trial, it might be correction. It might be chastisement. But don't go into the chastisement thinking, oh, God hates me. What's He doing to me? This hurts. Yeah. It's not supposed to be pleasant. If He's testing you to see where your heart is, it's not going to do any good if it's pleasant. And if He's chastening you because you've gone off the rails somewhere, then it's not going to do any good if it's not unpleasant. I punish my daughter when she does wrong, not because I hate her, but because she needs to realize that there's a consequence for her actions, and that if she wants to avoid bad consequences, she needs to make good decisions and good choices. And so it is with God. As a father chasteneth the son in whom he delighteth, understand and heed God's correction. Understand, God's not a hateful, vengeful, vindictive God. We don't need to start bad-mouthing God when things get tough. But at the same time, if we're not going to listen and yield, we're going to bring down more chastisement on ourselves. But in that correction, we can know that it's because God loves us that he's correcting us. It's because he loves us that he's chastening us. And finally, we see that we're supposed to seek the right kind of wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious, she being wisdom, than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. It's quite the description of wisdom. But we need to be aware that we're supposed to be seeking the right kind of wisdom. Meaning that we're supposed to be seeking wisdom from the right source. See, the world has a wisdom of its own. And as far as working in this life, you could argue that it works. But it doesn't get you any closer to God. It doesn't achieve a working in your heart. It doesn't help you in eternity. Seek the wisdom of God, like Solomon. God approached Solomon in a vision or a dream and asked Solomon, what do you want? You want riches? You got them. You want the next of your enemies? You got them. You want influence and power? You got it. What do you want? You got a blank check, Solomon. Write it out. Solomon said, give me wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Give me wisdom. And God said, because you've asked wisdom, I'm going to give you all the rest. Now, that doesn't mean you can try the same thing with God and ask for wisdom and expect to get everything else. God knows your heart. You cannot use reverse psychology on God. It doesn't work. But it just shows the importance of getting wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. How do we get wisdom? Comes full circle. Wisdom is found in this book. In keeping the commandments of God, learning the heart of God, finding how God interacts with individual circumstances. But beware not to be satisfied with the wisdom and forget the source of the wisdom. Solomon got there. Solomon
with all his wisdom, with all his wealth, with all his power, with all his influence, with all his prestige, with all his wives. Yeesh.
Those last part, they got him.
And I'm not trying to preach an anti-female sermon. No. It wasn't the fact that they were women.
It was the fact that they drew his heart away from God.
And Solomon ends his life
bitter, wondering about the point of life. Read Ecclesiastes. It is a lot of hopeless philosophy. There's no new thing under the sun, and you can work and work and work, and then someday you're going to die. And when you die, everything you work for is going to be passed on to somebody else, and you've got no idea whether he's going to be a wise man or a fool. And throughout the whole book of Ecclesiastes, you get this, just this idea of, what's the point of it all? Why am I going through this? And why am I dealing with this? And what? And there are glimmers of the real, of the answer in the book. And I'm not saying that Ecclesiastes is not worth your study. Simply that he got there because he sought wisdom instead of the source of wisdom. And I'm not saying that he did the wrong thing initially, but he got to the point where he was seeking after the side effects. He was seeking after the side effects. You go through Ecclesiastes, he says, I sought wisdom,
which we would think, yeah, the Proverbs, seek wisdom.
You know, and all throughout the Bible, there's you know, charges to seek after wisdom. It's a good thing. But he says it brought me nothing.
Sought riches, brought me nothing. Sought power, brought me nothing. I sought pleasure, brought me nothing.
But he ends up the book saying, seek the Lord.
While you're young. Before it gets too late and you get all old and crusty and curmudgeonly, and
seek the Lord now. Instead of seeking all the peripherals, instead of seeking all the side benefits, instead of seeking all the side effects. And by the way, just as a side tangent, America is rife with seeking of side effects.
Well, I just want love.
What they really mean is they want the side effects of love, the warm, fuzzy feelings and the, you know, the intangible, instead of actually saying, I want to love somebody, I want to love in an active sort of way, which is what biblical love really is. It's an action. God commands us to love our wives as husbands, which we can't be commanded to do something that we can't do. God is not like that.
So it is possible to make ourselves love somebody.
Otherwise, God wouldn't have said, love your wives. But I'm getting off on a tangent of a tangent. I'll stop. Now, live life in the Word of God.
Live life with mercy and truth.
Trust God, not you. He knows the way. I don't. Make sure that God keeps top priority.
That nothing else
is more important to me or as important to me as God. Understand the point of God's correction and make sure that I listen when he corrects me. And seek the right kind of wisdom. The wisdom that says, not only am I looking for
knowing the right thing to do at the right time, But I'm looking for the one who can tell me what the right thing at any time to do is.
Just some thoughts for life. If we do them, we'll have length of days, and long life, and peace. We'll have good favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. We'll be directed by God. We'll have health and marrow to our bones. Our barns will be filled with plenty, your presses burst out with new wine. We'll be assured of the love of God, and we'll be assured of his presence. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for showing us through it how important you are to us, how vital it is that we seek you, learn what you told us, and do it. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.